take these words and speak to us through them, I ask in Jesus' name. How many of you have seen the TV show Seinfeld? Anybody seen that before? Well, one of the episodes, Kramer comes sliding into Jerry's apartment, and Jerry is there with George, and Kramer says, "Do you want to have some fun?" And they say, "Sure." And then Kramer says, "Do you really want to have some fun, or are you just saying you want to have some fun?" And George says, "Yeah, I want to have some fun." And Jerry says, "No, I'm just saying I want to have some fun." Well, I want to ask you a question today, and that is, do you want to increase your faith? You might say, "Yes, I do." But are you saying, "Yes, you do," just to say yes? Or do you really want to increase your faith? We as Christians are called to live by faith. And so it's not really that unusual to live by faith, because in a lot of ways, all human beings live by faith. It's just a different type of faith that we are called to live by as Christians. I mean, if you're ill, you might go to a doctor whose name you can't pronounce, who writes a prescription you can't read, which you take to a pharmacy that you don't know, a pharmacist that you don't know, and then he gives you some pills that you don't know anything about, and you take them. That's faith. We walk by faith. So our gospel lesson today really talks about a woman who has great faith. So if you'd like to get out your bulletins and to look at the gospel lesson today, it's about a time where Jesus went to a region of Tyre and Sidon, and a Canaanite woman comes up to him. And now the Jews really looked down upon the Canaanites. They viewed them as kind of like low-class people and kind of like the dogs of society. And so they really had nothing to do with them. They didn't associate with them. They didn't talk to them. And so it was sort of like they weren't even worthy of salvation. And so when this Canaanite woman came to Jesus, it says that she cried out to him, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Nothing was going to keep her from coming to Jesus to get what she needed to receive from him. And so he answered, Jesus did not answer her a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying after us." Now, she wasn't crying after the apostles, she was only crying after Jesus, but they kind of lumped themselves in with Jesus because she was an annoyance. She was a bother to them. She was somebody that they didn't want to have to deal with and certainly didn't want Jesus to have to deal with. And so when Jesus said, "I was only," they said, "Send her away, for she's crying after us." And he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." So they probably thought, well, finally, he's come to his senses and he's going to send her away, because he really only wants to talk to those who are Jews and not to these Canaanite people. And so the woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. And he replied, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." They would have thought, well, surely Jesus is going to send her away now, because he's referring to her kind of in the same category as a dog. And so they were expecting him to send her away immediately. But the woman replied, "Yes, it is, Lord." And then she said something that no doubt shocked the apostles and blessed Jesus. She said, "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And Jesus replied, "Woman, you have great faith. You have great faith. And your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very moment. So we see in this story a woman who had great faith, someone who had an absolute trust in Jesus Christ and his ability to help her in her situation. And so as she came with an atmosphere of faith, I wonder, how can we develop that sort of atmosphere of faith? How can we get to that place where we have an absolute confidence and trust in Jesus Christ and his ability to help us in our situations in life? One of the things we have to do in order to get to that place is to ultimately realize the nature of our problem, the nature of our situation, to understand to be aware of the need that we have, and then to realize that that really, in our own strength and our own power, we're not going to be able to conquer that particular need or take care of that particular need, so we need God's help. Often we get caught up with what's possible through human effort. You know, we build buildings and we pay for programs, and there's nothing wrong with those things, but sometimes the tragedy comes when that's the high point of our celebration as a Christian achievement. So when that's the case, it makes us really no different from a social service organization in the community. But we're called to be much more than that as a church. I wish we could realize how born again we really are. It's normal for a believer to have faith, yet the subject can become so complicated that we think to ourselves, is it really possible to live by faith? Can we live a life of faith? And certainly it's a difficult thing for us as Christians to try to imagine, what is it like to live a life of faith? One of the things that diminishes faith is disappointment. Disappointment in God, disappointment in other people. And certainly unresolved disappointment is a cancer that can choke out our faith, and it can take over our lives. Pastor Randy Clark had an interesting conversation with a friend, Don Milam. Clark says, he is an unusually well-read individual. He told me that when he studied the lives of many atheists and existentialists, he noticed that nearly every one of them believed for a miracle for a dying family member or a friend and did not get it. Their coping mechanism became a belief system that got rid of the God is personal and powerful and at hand part of the equation. I've seen pastors do this a lot, says Clark. They become practical atheists, people who have a belief in God, but approach a problem in the same way that an atheist would, without a miracle-working God at the center of the answer. These leaders see something happen that they cannot explain, and in response create a foolish doctrine or belief to take away the pressure of mystery. For example, when a child dies, they may say, God took this child because he needed another angel in heaven. The statement may give temporary comfort to a grieving family, but it's a lie on several fronts. God does not turn dead people into angels, and he did not cause the death of this child. The lie brings temporary peace while undermining the parents' ability to truly be healed in their hearts, and instead they seek some sort of vindication from the Lord for their loss. Learning to live with the unexplainable is one of the most necessary ingredients in the Christian life. If we don't give up our right to understand, then we will never experience the peace that passes understanding. Let me say that again. If we don't give up our right to understand, then we'll never experience that peace that passes understanding that the Bible talks about. Learning to live with the unexplainable is one of the most important ingredients in the Christian life. If everything worked perfectly the way we wanted to the first time we tried it, then there would be little need to rely upon the promises of God. Promises like Romans 8:28, which says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I love what Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, submit to him or acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight, or he will direct your path. Biblical faith is trusting in the all-powerful, all-loving God, whose ways are not always our ways, and whose thoughts are not always our thoughts. The nature of faith is reflective of God's nature. Part of that definition of faith is that God is a rewarder. Listen to what the writer of the Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 11. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the one who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So, it's not good enough to believe that God exists or that even he can intervene with a miracle in the situation we need. The devil believes that sort of thing. The faith lives out the revelation of God's nature as a rewarder. So the question then becomes, how do we get more faith? The apostles prayed one time, asked the Lord one time, increase our faith. So how do we increase our faith? Well, the reality is many things come to us automatically, but there are other things that we need to pursue, we need to seek ourselves. To get more faith, we must continually pursue it. We do that in seven ways. I printed off in your bulletin an insert that you might want to get out, and you can make notes on that. You can take it home with you. It's a list of seven things that I think will help us to increase our faith. And so the first one is to cry out to God. Be specific and passionate in pursuing answers to prayer and breakthroughs in your life. Passionate praying is a great way to begin the journey of increasing our faith. Look at the woman who came to Jesus in our gospel lesson. She came passionately crying out to Jesus for help with the need that she had in her life. We also should pray in the Spirit continuously. Jude, which is the last book before the book of Revelation, Jude writes this, "But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ." So cry out to God with the need that you have. Secondly, study the Bible. Scriptures reveal how the Holy Spirit moves. You might pay special attention to the Gospels and to the book of Acts to see how God works in the lives of His people. We see great examples of faith throughout the Bible. Pay attention to those examples. Third, research history. Find books written by generals in God's army. You might start with a book series by Robert Lurden called God's Generals, but read examples of people of great faith. Fourth, seek impartation of faith. Find someone who has great faith and have them pray for you. Have them lay their hands on you and seek to impart the faith that they have to you. Fifth, look at your associations. Who do you associate with for the most part? Now, obviously, in these days, we don't associate with all that many people, but certainly when we're able to associate with others, with whom do we associate? The story of David and Goliath is one of the most well-known stories all over the world. But you may not realize that four other giants were killed in the Bible. They were all killed by men who were followers of David. So if you want to kill giants in your life, hang around giant killers. It kind of rubs off. Are you associating with people of faith? When we get together with other Christians, do we talk about things of faith, or do we just shoot the breeze? It's so easy for us to neglect talking about things of faith, when in reality, as we talk about those things of faith, we can build up the faith of each other by doing so. So often we say things that tear down faith in other people instead of building up faith. So with whom are you associating? And when you're associating with other Christians, are you speaking about things of faith? Next, sixth is obedience. We pray and obey. We really open the door for God to do what God does by nature. Radical obedience, a life of risk, is needed for us to see God's work in our life. There are times when God might move us to go somewhere or do something or say something or give something. And the question is, obedience means that we act on what we sense God is saying to us. For example, I was talking with a guy a number of years ago, and we were just kind of shooting the breeze, talking about different things, and a thought came to my mind. Ask him the question, do you ever think about spiritual things? Well, we hadn't been talking about church, or we hadn't been talking about religion, or we hadn't been talking about anything related to spiritual things, but that thought came to my mind. And so I thought to myself, is this really the right time to ask that question? But I decided to ask it anyway. And when I did, that opened the door for him to share how his life was so empty and how he really was looking for answers in his life. And I was able to share the gospel with him and lead him to faith in Christ. Now, why was I able to do that? Because I listened to that voice inside of me that I believe was from the Lord inspiring me to ask a question. Now, all of us, I believe, if we listen to that voice of the Spirit within us, might be moved to do things that could make a difference in the lives of others. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and act on what the Spirit is telling you to do. Seventh is stewardship. Giving from what God has given to us is a great way to increase our faith. As you give of your time to others, then you have the opportunity to bless them and for them to see God working through you in their life. and to see their faith grow, and your faith grows as well. As you give of your talents, your abilities, your gifts that God gives you, then you also open the door for others to be blessed and for their faith to rise and for your faith to grow as well. As you give your resources to others, then you have the opportunity to bless them and to see that God is working in their lives and for them to see that as well, for their faith to grow. And as you see them grow, then your faith will grow as well. Certainly, as we give our money, for example, we're trusting that God will provide for our needs. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you give will be the measure that is measured back to you. And so as we give, we open the door for God to give back to us. Now, we don't give in order to get something from God, but that's God's law of reciprocity. As we give, we get blessed in return. And certainly our faith grows as we give with the right attitude, with the right direction from the Holy Spirit. As we give, we open the door for God not only to give to others and bless others, but also to give back to us. When I was in seminary, there was a friend of mine, one of the seminarians along with me, by the name of Jim Mielich. And Jim was a man of great faith. He and his family were just barely scraping by. They didn't have hardly enough to live on. But he was such a guy that if somebody had a financial need, he would give them money. If somebody needed food, he would give them food, even though his family couldn't afford it. He had such faith that God was going to provide for him that he believed that whatever he had belonged to God, and so if God wanted him to give it away, he would. And the amazing thing is that we in the seminary, along with he, saw God providing for him as he gave and gave. It was an amazing thing to watch. He walked by faith because he knew that God was going to take care of him and provide for him, and so he wanted to bless others, and we saw his faith growing as he saw God working in his life. So the question, do you want to increase your faith today, or are you just maybe saying that you'd like to? If you really want to increase your faith, I would encourage you to maybe look over some of these things that I've shared this morning and maybe try to put some of them into practice. And as you do, you'll find your faith increasing and your trust in Jesus Christ growing. Maybe trusting him for things you've never trusted him before. Trusting him for things that you think might be impossible. And yet we serve a God who does the impossible from time to time. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have reminded us the importance of developing an atmosphere of faith in our lives. The importance of living and walking by faith. Lord, help us to not live by the standards of this world, but rather live by the standards that you have set for us in your word. Help us, Lord, to walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, I ask that you would increase the faith of each person here today. I ask this in your name. Amen.